Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is from the first chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel. There we read, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" And we pray, "These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen." You may be seated. Fellow redeemed in Christ, many of the names in the Old Testament are kind of odd. Take, for example, the fellow named Maher Shalal Hashbaz. How'd you like a name like that? Oftentimes in the Old Testament, people were given names that were prophecies, things that were going to happen or things that were happening. God gave these names. I suppose I'm glad that it doesn't work that way for us. I mean, I don't want to be called going to be a physics nerd. We don't name our children this way according to what they will become or because God has revealed to us something special about them. To us, a name is often to be sort of a pleasant label or possibly something that connects us with our culture or a past generation or someone the parents really appreciate. And it probably wasn't much different back in Old Testament Israel most of the time. But that was not the case with children, the names given to children who were a part or played a part in the great promise of God. Those main Old Testament names mean something. It's important. God made it so for us. And for Mary and Joseph and for the people of Nazareth and for the people of the whole world. Since the earliest times, God has been teaching us the value of a name and especially, of course, his name. What we're doing right now, worshiping the Lord. This used to be called calling upon the name of the Lord back in the times of Genesis. God's name is more than just a label. It's part of who he is. God's name is not just connected to today or some particular generation. His name is eternal. It has existed since before the foundations of the world were even laid. His name is not just a connection to something because he's the very sustaining power and the provider of all things. He is Elohim, the powerful triune one. He is Yahweh, the merciful and eternal one. Joseph and Mary knew many of the names of God, and those names meant something very near and dear to them. And so the predicament that was presented by the Spirit overshadowing Mary was especially difficult for Joseph. He didn't know how to handle it. To him, God's name was to be kept holy, and his own name and Mary's name, they were of great value to him. They were his reputation. And yet he was a human being like us, and many of his shortcomings, he knew them. And I'm sure the people of Nazareth knew some of his shortcomings as well. And so when his betrothed revealed to him that she was with child, his heart must have fallen. He did not know what to do. He didn't want the name of his God to be dishonored. He didn't want Mary to be dishonored. He didn't want to be shamed. Perhaps you've faced situations that are sort of no-win situations like this. Sometimes our sinfulness or the sinfulness of the world around us puts us into these kinds of situations, and oftentimes we really fail. We end up dishonoring God's name or our parents or loved ones or even ourselves. Perhaps some of you today are feeling the dishonor of having written a poor final that you knew you should have studied more for. Or perhaps you're thinking back over the semester at some words that you spoke to someone that were unkind, that are going to have long-lasting effects. Sad things like that. Sometimes the impossible situations come about because of our faith. We're being tested sometimes. We want to share Jesus with other people, but then when we go to open our mouths, what happens? We're too timid. We're too unsure. We don't know how to actually say something about the Savior to people. It's evident from our text that Joseph was prepared to sacrifice his honor and reputation, but not to spare Mary, since he was thinking of putting that situation quietly away. He was prepared not to save his own reputation, since regardless, it would have been assumed that someone had had dishonorable relations with Mary. And so he had resolved to put the matter away as quietly and gently as possible in order to avoid bringing dishonor to the name of his Father in heaven. He and Mary were both descendants of David, both by blood and in faith. And they waited for the Christ who had been promised, foretold by the patriarchs and the prophets, conveyed to them in psalm and prose through blood and pen. And so when God's messenger angel spoke to him and told him the truth of the situation, what a lift to his heart. How joyful that must have been. And he resolved in that moment to sacrifice his name and reputation to be the earthly guardian of that Christ child yet unborn in Mary. And when the unknowing and the self-righteous people avoided him, and that seemingly disgraceful situation, it must have stung him a little bit. And yet, how it must have warmed his heart to think about the name that he was to give the child. Many of us know the doxology by heart, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." And if we wanted to sing it right now, we probably could just do that from memory. Joseph and Mary, Old Testament believers, they had the Psalms in their heart, like we have the doxology, many of them anyway. And whenever in those psalms the idea of the Savior came up, the Savior was a name of God. And so these words of the angel meant a lot more to Joseph than just, here's what his name is going to be, here's what he's going to do. It meant, this is God, come in the flesh, the fulfillment of the promise that has been given generation upon generation to the people of Israel and to the world. And so for our prayer today, I've selected the verses from the Psalms that include the name of the Savior, our God. And we'll pray them together responsively, and then afterwards I have a few more words to say. The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be God, my Savior.
You will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God, the Savior.
Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long.
God, hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger.
Come quickly to help me, O Lord, my Savior. Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my God and my Savior and my God. You answer us with awesome deeds of righteousness, O God, our Savior, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas. Help us, O God, our Savior, for the glory of your name. Deliver us and forgive our sins for your name's sake. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen. So what's in a name? Forgiveness, life, salvation. Remember who he is. That is the point of the angel's message to Joseph, the one who is the very definition of right and good, he who abhors sin so much that he would bring heaven down to the manger and put hell up there on the cross so that he might free us from our sins. He is our Savior, our eternal God, our Lord, who bears our burdens and forgives our sins. And his name is on our lips to pray and praise and give thanks. Take heart, dear Christians. Your God, your Savior comes. Amen. And now may God, our Savior, Bless and preserve us from this day forth and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace.